Welcome. You're tuned in to The Rest of the Sermon, a podcast where we dive deeper into content, conversation, and application of Sunday's sermon at Westside Church in Poplar Bluff.
If you want more information, you can visit our website at westsidepb.org. If you have any questions you'd like answered on this podcast, you can email them to info@westsidepb.
Most importantly, it's all about Jesus.
Listening to him.
Oh man, that's a big one.
Whenever they talk about these generals who are giving accounts of saying, we are at the bases,
yes,
and we see these things come up. This was in the 1950s. Like, they had dropped the bomb. They had all this nuclear prior.
It's always how they move.
And they came above. And this happened on multiple occasions across Europe and America. Yep. And they disarmed their nuclear weapons.
Right.
Which has never happened.
The 747 pilots lately.
Yeah,
they report things, and you're like,
"Here's the
what is this?"
The common denominator in all of it is
sleep deprived.
What I've listened to at least is how that unidentified flying object moves from point A to point B. Every story says it can't be a plane
because it's not propelled.
And it can't be a jet because the way that those things move.
And if there was a human in them, they would turn to liquid because they're moving.
Sure.
They're accelerating
the
G-force.
G-force.
They stop on dimes and go. That's
interesting.
I want to know.
Did you guys ever get into the Loch Ness Monster as a kid, like in
not
school
really.
In your little encyclopedia book over in Scotland?
Over in Scotland, yeah.
I remember watching some videos.
Man, I just was obsessed with it,
so
Nessie.
Funny.
Because
Nessie.
The whole thing is we know more about the surface of the moon than we do the bottom of
do
the
we?
Ocean.
We've
right.
had this conversation.
There we go, right?
Do
dude, there's,
we?
We've never life been down there that's like
the ocean's so difficult, right?
Yeah.
So I would. Let me ask this question before we get into our would you rathers.
Oh,
are we on right now?
Yeah, we
yep.
are on.
Oh, we've been on. We've been on since Bob Lazar, baby.
Nobody told me.
I know.
Well, look, Haley's not here, and Jason just sneakily was like,
I was like, this is so good.
I was letting y'all go for a while.
Let's do a percentage, 100% being certain, right? How certain are you that in the depths, Mariana Trench, I mean the depths of the ocean, that there are still prehistoric, that we would consider prehistoric megalodons or something like that.
100%.
They're coming out with a Meg 2.
Got him.
I saw that.
Looks dope.
I saw that.
Meg 2?
Yeah. So cheesy. It's so cheesy. Adam, I mean, do you think
Jason Statham?
Yep.
Are you certain?
Oh, I'll watch that.
I would say, look at the there's like look at just the things that are on land still.
Alligators?
I mean, alligators are dinosaurs.
That's a dinosaur.
Alligator snapping turtle looks like a dinosaur.
That's a dinosaur.
There's dinosaurs down there.
That's a dinosaur.
The color of
Kevin Durant? Dinosaur.
Yeah, dude.
Chris Bosh?
He looks like Chris Bosh is an avatar. He's an avatar is what he
They're here.
So good. Okay. This would you rather came up last night, even with my family, and I thought I would toss it out here.
Uh-oh.
So, would you rather perform, be on, and be a finalist on The Voice or American Idol?
Oh, so you have to be able to sing and be judged, just which platform?
Yeah, let's say you've got the, this is your choice. You can sing, you're doing it. Would you rather be on American Idol or The Voice? See, because Courtney and I obviously know American Idol.
Well, I was about to say, playing the role of Haley Murphy will be Nikki Mauser
there you
today.
Go.
Do we get to pick our judges from each show?
No.
The current judges
that's where
now.
I'm like Blake Shelton.
No,
like,
yeah. It's just you get to be on that show our kids, we're realizing, are of the Voice generation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm,
that's really kind of taken off. And American Idol's still big. I'm hearing that this season is fantastic. But for us, that all started with American Idol.
Yeah.
So which one would you rather be? Would you rather be The Voice or American Idol?
I think I'm going The Voice.
The Voice?
I am, because I think they're judges over the years. Like Simon Cowell on American Idol, absolutely.
Sure.
I want him to be like...
You want him to judge you?
What about Paula Abdul?
He's so
whenever
mean.
Paula Abdul is on there,
right?
Man.
But, like,
just taking shots from the stage probably while she's judging
people. But then I think of the diversity of the four that The Voice has.
Yeah.
So I think that would be like,
cool.
Right now I don't get to pick.
That's
I'm going to go that. If I get to choose, I'm going old.
I chose The Voice because, and I don't know if it's true or not, it's a show. There could be a script. But I think the value of merit of you are judged first by your voice.
Yeah.
And then the chair turns around. Whereas American Idol, it's like you stand in front of the judges, they see you and all of that stuff. I said The Voice in that sense.
That's why The Voice I would be scared of The Voice, because if you're not getting people to turn around, I'm going to be singing worse and worse as I go on, like just finally into tears while nobody's turning around.
So you don't think that would give you a confidence of they're going to love me and they're going to turn around versus staring at their dead
faces? What if
they
don't turn around and you've hit your highest note?
Well, and I get that, but you're looking at them judging.
So
like,
funny.
Like if they don't have a good poker face and they're looking at you and they're like snarling their nose, oh, that would crush me.
Love
I would
it.
Cry.
Yeah.
I would cry.
Probably The Voice because it's more relevant.
Oh, there you go. Nice.
Yeah.
For some reason, I'm like, I wish I was always a magician. And so like American Idol would be where, you know, you get to actually do it.
So you want the, what's the
so
one with
hop
the golden
on American
buzzer?
Idol and do
that's
magic?
America's Got Talent.
America's Got Talent. So that's what you want.
I was going to say, you're going to hop
my,
on The Voice
my brain,
and be doing
magic. Like, yeah, because I can't sing worth a lick.
Oh, yeah, like, America's literally. Got Talent's just like a smorgasbord of entertain us. See, are you so not entertained?
Yeah.
Oh, I can't sing either. You hear me singing Dogs Are Howling too, but we're in this.
I will say The Voice, though, has a really cool dynamic of when they do wait, and then all three of them do it or something.
For
and
sure.
It's like, that's
Chance
cool.
the Rapper, bro.
I'm loving him
People,
this season.
And
he's
and
so
it,
great.
It's kind of frustrating to me because it's like, y'all, Chance been around for a hot minute.
Yeah.
This guy is by far, he's a Christian, loves the Lord, goes to Charlie Date's church in Chicago.
Look, we're going to go to Chicago.
Oklahoma.
West Side trip one day soon.
Revival in Oklahoma recently, and he features.
Yes, there you go. Okay, here's the next would you rather, and I know it's kind of sports related, but I think it would be fun regardless. Would you rather, it's game seven. So if you're not into sports, the finals, the championship, is the best out of seven game series. What every sports enthusiast wants to hear is two words, game seven. Mm-hmm. Because that means it all comes down to this. Mm-hmm. Right?
As does every team owner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. Oh, yeah, for sure. So would you rather go to a soccer World Cup, MLB World Series, an NBA championship, a NHL hockey game, or the Super Bowl? And I know I'm probably leaving out a sport, the Masters, but you get what I'm saying, right?
That would be so dull for
game
me.
Seven, ping pong? I'm just kidding.
Yeah, right? High lie or whatever. What's
Man,
it going to be?
That's
Nikki,
like
you go
your
first.
No, I can't. That's
you have
picking
to go
your
first.
Favorite game.
Based
Nikki,
on experience
go.
As well. I think it's based on experience.
Okay. But again, Haley's not here. So sure. Like, are the Cardinals at the World Series? Because yes, if not, I'm there. But the Saints?
Nah, I'm going to X out you can't pick a team.
You can't pick a team.
Because it's only per the category of the sport.
Okay.
So it's like Game 7, World Series, NBA, whatever it is, you know? This is basically to get you to choose the sport that you would go to.
I know. I'm probably going to go to NFL. I'm going to go...
Yeah.
Super Bowl. I'm going to the Super Bowl.
Great. That's a great choice.
It is a great choice, but I'm like, have you ever been to a hockey game? They are so fun. I know nothing about soccer.
They really are.
But then I'm like, I know the most about like basketball and baseball. I mean, I know football.
Yeah.
But man, I don't know.
And all the extracurricular activities that are at like the Super Bowl. I feel like the Super Bowl would probably be a majority pick, to be honest.
That's like, all right. I know more about the Super Bowl.
What about you guys?
I'm a diehard baseball fan.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, that's tough. I mean, I'm conflicted on my answer. So
me too.
Yeah.
Because this is where I'm going.
Yeah.
Game 7 NBA.
Yeah, that's where
because
I'm at.
Because it's the fight all game.
All game.
First point.
All game.
You cheer just as loud as the last 2 points.
That's it.
And if you've ever been to an NBA game, there's so much entertainment. It never stops. On the TV, you get a TV break.
Yes.
Yeah.
If you ever go, like we went to OKC. We got to watch Cleveland and OKC play.
Love it.
And LeBron was there. Yep. I like looked at Kevin Love.
We got to go to a moment. Memphis game, bro. You would love it.
Don't make me cry right now.
Right.
I would love that.
Right.
But Game 7, I think would be, it doesn't matter the team. I would go watch any team
because I agree.
Continual
because
grit.
My opinion it's going to be, now hockey's extremely fast paced and everything. And
there might be a fist fight.
And guys, we're also,
there will be a
the
fist
World
fight.
Cup is huge. My goodness. Yeah. But my personal opinion is when tip off happens, you better be watching every second of this NBA championship.
And it's every player, too. It's every player. Not just the guy with the ball. Yeah. Watch the screen coming.
It's everything. Oh, yep, watch it's all of that. Yep. All right, Adam.
NBA Game 7.
NBA Game 7, right? For sure. Yeah. Second for me would be World Series Game 7.
Really?
So you're going, okay.
Oh, for sure. No question.
See, my second might be Super Bowl. I don't know. I'm a diehard baseball fan.
What if NFL played best of 7? Would it be in would Megan it be and I Super Bowl game day, 7?
Like, I mean, yeah, but I don't think physically those guys can.
No,
because they're weak, man.
Dude, right now in the NBA, they're playing weak. Other day.
And on the day they're
not playing, they're flying to where they're playing.
So taxing.
LeBron was interviewed and they were like, "What were you thinking after that third game?" And he said, "How much sleep I could get."
Yeah.
He said, "Rest. Yeah. Rest right now." He said, "Guys, that's what makes this an even playing field about the NBA Finals is the pace of it is so exhausting that every team is wore out and you just got to do what you got to do."
So good. I love it. I love the finals.
Love it.
Mm. Yeah.
It frustrates me because they could play that way all season.
I know.
And they don't.
So, yeah.
And they don't. So,
luck, Game 7 would be a blowout, and I'd be so mad I was there and didn't go to the Super Bowl. I'd be like,
"We would love to
hear
from you guys. What would be kind of, would you rather in a Game 7? Is it hockey? Is it World Cup? Is it NBA? Whatever it is. Hey, man.
Stanley Cup would be interesting.
That would be cool.
It would be cool.
It really would be.
But I don't know enough about it to know, like, that's where my heart would be.
For sure. For sure. We would love to hear from you guys, but we are continuing in our series, The Pillars of Truth, and we are walking through 1 Timothy. We're going to be walking through 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus. And we finally was like, we've been in this for a couple weeks. We're in chapter 2.
And they cheered.
That, I thought that was hilarious. And only if you come to Westside will you understand like why that's funny. I try to plan these sermon series and like, hey, where do you think you're going to be at in Timothy on this date? And it's like, I think here. And it's like 4 weeks off.
Yeah.
But anyway, so we are in chapter 2 and the whole thrust of it, we were reminded that why Paul's writing the letter, right? He's writing this to Timothy and he says, in 1 Timothy 3, 14 and 15, I hope to come to you, but I'm writing that you may know how to conduct yourselves in the household of God. A lot of chaos going on in Ephesus. And so Paul is literally writing about what is a church? How does it function? What do we do when we come together? Like real practical questions that I am finding out most Christians can't answer. You know, like we were all just in here talking about the upper room worship night, which, by the way, Adam was incredible. The lingering in worship is beautiful. And there was a quick portion where we're all kind of doing something. And I just was like, do you know where we get an altar from? An Old Testament and this, that, and the other. And an altar is where a place goes to die or you offer up a praise, right? And just the amount of people that are like, I didn't know ever what that was. And I say all that to say this. We should never assume. I think that's why God has these things in his word so that we can remember. And so Paul is like, okay, here we go. Priority numero uno. And then like the fourth word out of his mouth is prayer.
Yeah.
So Paul says, okay, teaching is obviously, he dealt with that in verse 3 and 4. Like, hey, man, don't wander off from this. The gospel's the gospel. That's what keeps the church alive. You know, the word is the diet. We can't go anemic. We can't, you know, live off sugar, whatever. And then he goes, okay, when we come together, apart from teaching and all of that, here is priority number one in this. And he says, prayer. How did that strike you when you really strip it down and break it down? By the way, this is the Apostle Paul.
Yeah.
I mean, so his opinion matters. And there is God has an opinion about the gathering, and that could be a whole nother podcast, by the way. We don't dictate that and determine that. God has revealed in his word how he wants to be worshiped. And Paul says, prayer. How did that strike you? What was significant about that for you? Almost if you could have done a survey and said, in the Bible, when the church comes together, the Bible says that blank is the most important at the gathering. Apart from the Bible and whatever, we know that. But I'm saying, what is that thing that the average person would like fill in the blank? And why did it strike you that Paul said prayer?
Yeah. Part of it, I think, for me was when you gave the illustration of your daughter.
Mm.
Asking about well, what's wrong with them?
Yeah.
For praying. Like Paul started with prayer. He would start his letters with, I prayed, I'm in my prayers.
Yep.
I'm thankful for your prayers. Like he would bring to what we think is secondary to the primary. And I think when you said the words and just a shout out, you got to go listen to the message because it really is a message that I think 15 years from now, we're all going to look back and go, yep, that still applies.
Yeah.
But when you said that when we go from emergency prayer to intimacy prayer, mm-hmm. that'll change your entire life.
Yeah.
Bro.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it was really good just to, for me. So.
Yeah.
But I think you were right when you said there were so many people who didn't know. As you grow and as you walk, as time goes on, and you're with Christ and you're learning, it goes from those, like, I think everybody meets Christ in a different point.
Amen.
A lot of people meet them when they are at the bottom.
Absolutely.
They have nothing else to hang on to.
Absolutely.
So they just reach up. But then as you continue, like, you don't always go to God, thank you for the sunshine.
It's discipleship.
And exactly.
Right?
And that is as important as those emergency prayers.
Yeah.
So I think in this season, we have so many new people. We have so many people in different aspects and walks where they are.
It's good.
That this is a good foundational message.
Yeah.
That Paul was still teaching. It's very relevant today as it was back then.
100%.
So I think people would say, oh, the most important part is the people. Eh.
Right.
Yeah,
sure.
But.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Adam, what about you, man?
I love it. It's been kind of rocked my world, honestly, just what you taught on Sunday and, you know, leading up to it and kind of preparing for Sunday. But I like it a lot because it doesn't give anybody an out.
Mm.
Let me explain that. He says prayer is the most important. And maybe if he would have said worship, you're like, yeah, I'll worship on a Sunday morning, but I can't sing worth anything.
Or sure.
Teaching, you know, giving your testimony. I don't do well speaking in front of people.
That's good.
But the prayer, you talk to yourself all the time in your head.
hey,
you have
preach.
No problem with that.
Preach.
And I just love it because it's like, hey, this is one thing that everybody can do, and we all have this access.
Yep.
And this is the first and foremost, this is what the Lord wants.
Yeah, man.
And so there's nowhere to hide. There's no, we like to hide. I'm not good at that. I'm not gifted in that. Well, you can talk.
Amen.
You talk to your spouse. You talk to your kids. You can talk to God, and it's the same way.
Yeah. And I think, too, another way that there was not an out is you can't go, well, that's Ephesus. That's what Paul was saying. You know, Jason, you always say the Bible's not written for you, but it's written to you. And that was just a specific thing in that church.
Yeah.
And then you go back and the one thing the disciples asked Jesus, not how to preach, not how to do miracles. They watched that man pray and they went, well, that's the source of it.
Yes.
After he done the miracles.
Right. Lord, teach us how to pray. And then when Jesus goes in and cleanses the temple and he says, you've prostituted the church, you have made profit more important than prayer.
Yeah.
And it's just like, so when you chase that theme, you're right. There is no way out in that sense.
There's no way out. And then when you just, Jesus was always, after he was exhausted, retreating and praying.
Yeah.
I mean, I was just thinking about that this morning, like literally God is, Jesus is needing this connection with God. There is some limitation that we have to assume whenever you're put in a physical body that he doesn't have he has to go and separate himself to then pray to God. Like Jesus, God is having to talk to God still. It's not just this.
Yep. Hey guys, we wanted to take a break from the podcast and I wanted to fill you in on this incredible resource. Listen, I know I've got a lot of pastor friends, a lot of church volunteers, maybe you're on staff at a church, and there's a ton of things that when I started working at a church that I didn't know anything about. And when I became pastor at Westside, there was a lot that I didn't know about. And one of those things was church insurance. I'm in a board meeting, someone says, what's our insurance policy? And I'm like, I have no idea. Listen, I don't care how much you paid for your seminary education, they don't teach you about church insurance. But listen, Westside has found a great resource at First Choice Insurance through our agent, Matt Phillips. First Choice Insurance is locally operated. It is family owned. They have a ton of insurance policies from A to Z. They've insured everything from airplanes, zoos, like legitimately, Matt told me that they've insured a lion before. So listen, if you work at a church, if you're a pastor and you're like, seminary did not teach me about church insurance, I want you to reach out to Matt Phillips at First Choice Insurance. The number is 573-686-2870. Again, that's Matt Phillips at First Choice Insurance, 573-686-2870. Or you can check them out on Facebook. Again, family owned, locally operated, Matt Phillips, First Choice Insurance. Back to the show, guys.
They're not just this one where he doesn't have to talk. He doesn't have to be intentional about it. Even Jesus is having to go and pray to feel connected and led by God. Who are we? What do we think we are doing by not being in the presence of God all the time? And yet we're like, oh, I want his will for me, but I'm not ever searching for his voice.
Yeah, 100%. You know, yeah. And so, and so what we said was the big idea when you really read those first seven verses is that the gathered church proclaims the gospel because he talks, it's one of my favorite, the one mediator between, I couldn't even really get into that much, one mediator between God and man, the God-man Jesus, and he just preaches the gospel again. So like we said that the gathered church preaches the gospel through all kinds of prayer for all kinds of people, right? And that's just, he uses the word all like seven times, and it's all constantly. And I think what's significant is what we said a little bit ago before we hopped on this podcast was prayer is not something we do before the work to ask for God's blessing or after the work to ask for God's blessing. Prayer is the work.
Yeah.
Yep.
Prayer is the work. That's a significant thing in that. And then he moves into the all kinds of prayer. Did anything stick out to you on that of like the lists? It's obviously
supplication,
not
supplication, intercession.
Yeah, right. Prayer. It's not an exhaustive list like that. You have to do these whenever you gather. But what he's saying is there's all kinds of prayer here for all kinds of occasions in that. Was there anything that stuck out to you in that sense? You kind of talked about the emergency to intimacy there.
Yeah. The thankfulness part of it.
Yes.
That got me. Cause like, it's so funny that you talked about like an ice cream truck. Yeah. Because the other day when I went running, not that I'm an avid runner, but I've been trying to.
Amen.
So when you're running, I saw the SpongeBob.
Yep. He's nice. He's over by our area all the time. And that's so, the devil while you're running, by the way. Yeah. Get behind me, Satan.
Not only that, but my Runkeeper app says, like, I think I saw an ice cream ahead. Just kidding. But it made me just that it gave me a boost of energy of that thankfulness of like, Lord, thank you for giving me the energy to be able to do this. But it was funny because seeing that, and I thought, you know, thankfulness, like how often am I finding time in my prayer life currently just to give thanks I feel like I'm really good at like praying for others and like, oh, there's an emergency. Let's pray, or, you know, prayer card. But like, dude, it's 85 degrees outside. Like Judah's outside with his t-shirt off.
Praise be to God.
And his diaper and some shoes. Like, thank you, Jesus. Like, he's muddy as all get out, but
That was a season that we were really trying to teach our kids that. And it happened at Baskin Robbins. And I just stopped and was like, we need to thank Jesus for this. And they were like, why? And I was like, well, he created us. And why can we taste this?
Right.
Like, why do we have taste buds? Why can we taste a steak and this, that, and the other? But then our family really went through a season of suffering. And I think that prayer, and it was appropriate, it was okay that prayer took on the form of emergency.
Yeah.
Of, I mean, with Piper that day, it was, I mean, she basically said, I've always thought of prayer as negative, Dad. Mm-hmm. Like, as something
problem.
Bad. You know, when we hear sirens, we pray. We're driving in the car, we just teach the kids to pray, or if we're at home or whatever, God be with the first responders, wherever they're going, this, that, and the other. And man, the conviction that just washed over me. And I was just like, the thankfulness, man, the joyous, the God, we get to run around the yard and chase fireflies tonight. Yeah. Like, pray, like, thank you for that. Yeah. That starts to mold in us God as a loving Father, right? That's shaping us in that sense. So, yeah, that's really good. And then he moved into the people.
Let me answer.
Yeah, come on.
I loved that list. What did you have on the list? You had
supplication, prayers, intercessions, thanksgivings.
And Thanksgiving.
It's time to give another shout out to another sponsor of the Rest of the Sermon podcast. This shout out goes to our great friends over at Smart Marketing right here in Poplar Bluff, Missouri. Smart Marketing is a fantastic media company. And when I say media, I mean websites, graphic design, videography, anything that you need, Smart Marketing can do it. You need to head on over to Facebook, just type in Smart Marketing, and you'll see their cool light bulb logo pop up, and you can get a ton of information there. Or you can just give them a call, Smart Marketing at 573-840-0334. Again, that's Smart Marketing right here in Poplar Bluff, 573-840-0334. Back to the show.
And then prayers, how you define prayers was just simply talking to God.
Yeah.
That one stood out to me, and it shouldn't stand out, but you know, like let's say your friend calls you, somebody you haven't talked to in a while.
Burcham. Shout out to Brandon Burcham.
Nobody knows who that is. Somebody calls you and you answer the phone, you're talking, and at the end of a 30-minute phone call, you realize that you've just been talking.
Yeah.
And they say, okay, good to talk to you. See ya.
Yep.
That's surprising in a good way. They didn't come to you to say, hey, man, I need to borrow your truck. Mm. I even to say thank you. Like they had a reason to call you just to say thank you for something, sure, which is fantastic.
But
I think how the Lord looks at like just our daily conversations, like you didn't come here for something. You didn't come here to lay anything down. You came here because this is what you do.
Dude, I think when we did our corporate prayer together and the line that said, make us believe that you are more willing to answer our prayers than we are to even pray, that you want to hear from your kids.
I think we muddle it up, though. We make it so much harder than it is.
Absolutely.
I used to, because I have the gift of ADD, I used to fall asleep praying, and then I'd wake up, oh my gosh, God, I'm so sorry for falling asleep mid-prayer. I shouldn't fall asleep in our conversation.
Right.
And
That's actually scriptural. The disciples did that.
Well, there we go. Good
company. There you go, there right?
And Jesus,
not even
mad.
1 hour?
Right. I couldn't. Right. I mean, just the squirrels take over.
Yes.
But there's not. It is conversation.
Yeah. So I think that helps us when Paul says later on in Philippians, a lot of times people get confused when Paul says, never cease praying.
Yeah.
Praying unceasingly. And people go, well, what am I supposed to do?
Just keep going.
Let me ask you a question. When in my day, in general, am I not communicating with Courtney?
Yeah.
I mean, there's times where like right now I'm talking to you guys, but I stepped out and had a conversation. She knows what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Like right now, this very moment. And we know what the rest of the day and it's going to orbit around that and all like... That's once you understand the conversation with God that way, now you understand the attitude, the posture, what's on the forefront of your mind, all of those things, man. That's really
good. And you can continue to grow. Now I'm in a different season where when it comes to the four type, when I see our boiler room prayer put the names up, I love that. But there does something to my heart when I see my kids' names.
Oh, 100%.
Like, oh, my mama heart knows that I have church that are not because they are my kids, but because they are who they are separate. And when I see those younger, like all over, when I'm like, yep, I don't know what's going on. It's probably not a need. But that is such a thoughtful moment.
Yeah, for
when
sure.
When those prayers of intercession come in. That is huge.
I think the one from the list that jumped out at me was when I learned intercession.
Yeah.
Like that particular word, the Greek word, there is a part of the meaning, and it's used in other places to mean this, that you intercede for other people, like Romans 8, the Spirit intercedes with us, you know, when we don't even have words. But that's not the word Paul uses there. And the majority of that word is like a confidence of interceding before the throne. So basically what Paul's saying is like, you can have confidence in who you're talking to.
Mm-hmm.
And that just to me was like, oh, that's so good.
Mm-hmm.
So good. And then he moves on and ratchets it up even more. Like, why is prayer important? What kind of prayers are we praying? And then he hits on,
who we should pray for. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, and he kind of starts it with, of course, we should pray for all people. And we just talked about how, like, that's super safe. And God, yeah,
that
today,
was so funny. It was God, such today, it's, you know, so applicable, though. Like,
I prayed for all the hungry. Yeah, I prayed for all the hungry people. You know, well, great. Awesome. And then right after that, he goes, and kings. And it's like, oh, well, that's super specific.
Yeah.
You know?
I always get tickled because I'm not in service a lot.
Sure.
Like, it's more, and I was, yeah, and I'm sitting there and we're sitting in a random spot because we've been packed and
yeah,
kings. And then watching the congregation
connect the dots, right?
Connect the dots, yeah, and like get a little, sure, squirmy. I'm like, it's coming. This is so good.
And what's controversial about that is we know that first, 2 Timothy is the last thing Paul writes. Paul is writing that from the Roman cell that he is minutes away. He doesn't know, mm-hmm, when, I mean, he's going to die. 1 Timothy is a little bit before that, but it's towards the end of his life. We know who the Roman emperor is, and persecutions on Christians is open season. I mean, it is brutal. And Paul says that to them. And then he says kings, and then he says all who are in positions of authority.
Yeah.
And then for those...
That context is massive.
It's huge. It's huge. I want to ask this. Obviously, Nikki, what you were saying is I spoke on the equivalent to that for us is like praying for our president, vice president, mm-hmm, and then their administration, those who, yeah, are in positions of authority. But it is, we are so far removed from God's design of the way that should function, that, just to kind of fast forward, at the end of the sermon, we had a corporate prayer and we did what Paul said.
Mm-hmm.
We prayed for Joseph R. Biden and we prayed for Kamala Harris by name.
Yeah.
Because they're our president and vice president right now. Why is it that if a first-time guest who knew nothing about our church and maybe even sat in through the sermon and listened to that, then heard that prayer, would leave and think that, oh, this church leans a certain way.
Yeah.
Why is it? Because I used to think it was enough to go, well, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, that would be a sufficient answer for, mm-mm, people. It's really not. No. I mean, people are just kind of like, man, why is that provocative? Yeah. Why is it provocative to do that in this day and age?
I think it comes back to submission.
Hmm.
All means all.
Yeah.
And I think if we were to take it back, even not terribly far off in our worldly history, we are so divided right now politically, it's one thing. But globally, we were divided years ago. It would, yeah, have been the equivalent of like, pray for Hitler.
Sure.
No.
Right.
And yes, yeah, is the biblical correct answer to, right, that. So I think it was kind of interesting to watch people squirm. They were squirming not knowing where you were going,
yeah,
with,
sure,
this.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think you said it well with, we don't care about your political,
no,
affiliation.
Yeah.
We submit, yeah,
it's
to,
it's not a
king,
democracy, man. And, it's a monarchy.
And I think worldly, we are not taught that.
Yeah, for
and
sure.
And it's hard to overcome that submission.
Yeah, I think, mm-hmm, so, for sure. What about you guys?
When you we kind of saw your outline and the corporate prayer printout.
You cheated, according to my kid. Like, when I get those notes and I'm like, ooh, this is going to be good. You're cheating, Mom. You're reading Jason's sermon. You're
That's
cheating.
Funny.
Yeah.
That's funny.
But Hebrews 4:12.
Yep.
It's alive and active. Sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart.
Yeah. That's what the word does.
That's what the word does. And I think when you preach the word,
yeah,
it causes us to realize,
yeah,
there is a division in our, yeah, hearts.
Correct.
And so we have to pick a side. And I think, mm, when we... The choice is where we get comfortable.
Mm.
I know what side I belong to.
Sure.
And when you find that opposition or what appears to be opposition, yeah, it's our reaction.
Right.
And so I think for some of us on Sunday, it was like, oh my gosh, am I reacting?
Right.
Like, am I able to actually meditate on like what the word is telling me to do?
Yeah.
And,
man,
I think that's a lot of people, they get uncomfortable with like, well, I don't really want to do that.
Yeah. Mm. And I'll be honest, guys, yeah, the reason why I said what I said is I felt a great conviction over joining in on my, I'm a passionate person. I have a lot of beliefs about stuff and I voice them vocally. I kind of get paid to do that a little bit. And there's things about the current administration that I abhor.
Yeah.
I mean, not just reject, I abhor those things. I would call them evil. And sometimes it's comforting to joke and to join in with this and to join in with that. And I just felt like, wow, how different would our nation be and maybe the ruler be if there were less of these jokes and there was more prayer?
Yeah.
Like just praying, man. I don't know.
Yeah. In my prayer life, some of the most effective things to cultivate relationship and like actually loving your neighbor is when you pray for them. Mm-hmm. I have found like when I just start adding to the prayer list specific people by name, yes, and specifically maybe people I disagree with or, you know, quote unquote enemy or yep, whatever, like it is really hard to put yourself in the presence of God as you pray for somebody.
Yes.
And then
come on
to, you know, still lump them in that same category of like, I disagree, I don't like.
Yep.
You know, when you are interceding, when you're like, God, be with this person, help. You're praying for them, but you're praying for your own heart.
Yes.
To see them as God does.
Yes. Yeah.
And so similarly, whether you disagree or agree with the current administration, whatever, it's you're doing work on yourself to, you know, God, please lead them, but also help me to, you know, I don't know.
Yes.
It helped my heart to not be in a place of hate and to yes, be in a place of like wanting the best and wanting their spiritual restoration, all that, you know, first and primary. But I have found when I pray for people, enemies or friends alike, it just puts that connection with them that is unlike it. It does the work tenfold of, yeah, of spending time with somebody.
Amen. Even, and you know, to follow that up, Adam, that was one of the great apologetics as to why people even listened to the early Christians. You know, I read that excerpt from Tertullian. I mean, that's 200 AD. When it comes to ancient literature and stuff like that, that's called a like certain source. So like that means that, oh, wow, that's not far removed from the event that it happened in. So the word is that's been attested. But one of the things why Rome almost had to go, and a lot of people have controversy over this, whether Constantine was actually saved or whether it was a good political move for him to make Christianity the Roman religion, was because they were persecuting them, hated them, and they saw these people living these quiet lives, being like great citizens.
Yeah.
Hey, guess what? Where do you think orphanages and hospitals came from? Not Islam. It was when they threw babies out in Rome, Christians went and got them out of the gutter. Christians stayed during the Black Plague, the bubonic plague. Like, my goodness, you can't ignore that life.
Yeah.
That's so powerful. And we always ask, man, how'd they do it, man? I don't know how I did it back then, right?
It's well, obedience.
They prayed.
Yeah.
They depended upon God in that. So, yes, it speaks volumes, and it really does change your life.
Yeah, it does.
When you do something like that, that's a great insight. You know, I want to follow it up with this. I know we've got people that are listening. You guys are on staff at a church, whether you like it or not. But oftentimes people are going to come to you guys with questions. They're going to, you know, Paul says, imitate me as I imitate Jesus. That's one of the things you consider and you say when God puts a call on your life and you go into vocational ministry at a church. Excuse me. So I want to ask this. When it comes to your prayer life, prayer is by far, maybe apart from fasting, prayer is the discipline. I've never met a single Christian, even Christians that I would say are just giants in the faith, like Miss Margaret Cross or somebody who just has the direct line to Jesus. Mm-hmm. I've never met any of those people and them go, I mean, I'm pretty good with my prayer life. I'm pretty satisfied with it right now. I feel really good. It's always the spiritual discipline that crawls off the table. And it's a constant like, I got to get this back. I want that deeper. What have been some things, and maybe you just want to share your routine or whatever. What have been some things that have helped you personally? Okay, so this is not like blanket for all. This is just, this has helped you in your prayer life. And how has it changed it? What has it done? What's been the effect of that?
My routine started at first. It was a book. I can't remember the author, but it was a husband and wife. They did a book together.
Yeah.
And it was 31 prayers for your wife.
Yeah. Courtney and I have that. Yeah, sure.
And I bought both of them, gave one to Megan, if she's listening.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if she did hers yet. But
I know it doesn't say 31 prayers for your husband.
There were a his and her. There were his and her copies. But yeah, but that started. So that was 31 days where I started just praying for Megan. And it was not just Megan and our like marriage, but it was like actually praying for her.
As an individual.
As a creation.
Wow.
And so then all of a sudden after 31 days, I was like, well, I don't want to stop.
Yep.
But also the book was filled up because I wrote written in the book.
Yeah.
So then it continued on. And so every morning there is a kind of a routine.
Yes.
I brew coffee. I'm a huge coffee drinker.
Praise be to God. Hey, how did Moses make his coffee?
He brews it.
He brewed it.
He brews.
Haley's not.
That didn't work anyway. I tried to do a sound effect. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter anymore. Go ahead. Brew the coffee, baby.
So yeah, I'm brewing the coffee in the morning, but what my routine is, I'll brew some coffee, get the smell of coffee, but I won't drink my coffee until I write down my first line in my prayer journal. So yeah. I've kept that prayer journal now for like 5 years.
Good for you.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I'll write, Lord, you are good.
Amen.
Because in the Psalms, there's something that's just repeated throughout all the writers of the Psalms. Like, you're good. Right? Your goodness endures forever. Your love endures forever. And so I started writing that. And so every time I'll do that, I'll write that line, have a little bit of coffee. And then it might be a full page, might be a half page.
Depending on how much caffeine you consume, right?
It's just, and what it's done though, is it started with Megan. It started with, then we had Judah.
Yeah.
Then we went through that.
Yep.
But what it did was it also started to bring other people to my mind.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So then after every prayer, this morning, I end with family members. I lead with, it's one of those things for me that's it's created so much of like awareness of the power of prayer, not only for me, but through me.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so for me, that's what's transformed my entire, I would say it's changed my life.
Yes.
Those 15 minutes every morning, and it can be very quick. Yeah. I do it always written.
Yeah.
And what's funny is even after 5 years, I still get hand cramps.
Yeah, right.
You still can't not get hand cramps.
Hey, I want to say something, though, that's really powerful, Alex, because you said through me. I think sometimes we forget that the very thing we're asking God for, he wants to do through us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I've said before, what if you are somebody's answer to prayer?
Yeah.
Like, what if somebody's praying for blank and all it takes for you is loving your neighbor as yourself, and then next thing you know, they break down in tears and go, oh my God, I was praying today that somebody would just see me or notice me. Mm-hmm. Like, how powerful is that? That like, and we see that in the passage that they're undergoing this persecution and, oh God, this is, you know, Maranatha, Lord, come quickly and all this stuff. And God is wanting to answer that prayer, but through them to live that quiet life. That's good. That's a powerful routine, Alex. That's beautiful, man.
I love that you have a time and that you admitted like hand cramps and it's 15 minutes.
Yep.
I think we think it should be a lot.
Oh, yeah.
It's not.
Yeah.
And if you need to take a day off, do it. But it's that, for me, it's just always been like, I run out of a journal, for example.
Yeah.
There's sometimes like, I don't like writing on the back of the page because then it gets all jacked up with.
Yep. Right.
But I'll still, you know what I mean? You'll still have to do it. So anyway. See,
the best illustration that I've ever found of prayer, I went on a prayer retreat. It was a silent retreat. It was incredible. It was one of the most powerful things in my life. And the guy said that prayer's a lot like scuba diving. And I was like, okay. And he was like, you got to learn your equipment. Mm-hmm. Right. What's this all? You got to learn it.
That was a good sound.
And then you got to put it on. And then you got to get in the water and learn to swim with it. Mm-hmm. Then you go, you're not even underwater yet. And now you go underwater and then you go a little deeper and a little deeper. But you still got to come up for oxygen. You got an oxygen tank. Like, and for some reason, that description of the process of prayer for me was very helpful. You know, like, oh, I'm in a season of, I'm really kind of learning how to swim with this scuba gear type stuff and everything like that. So, Nikki, how about you?
So and it's been seasonally.
Yeah.
I try to write in the journals and keep up with them. Squirrels take over.
Sure.
I lose them. I keep them in my car. So I have scraps of prayer everywhere all the time. If I ever were to grab them and compile them, it would be bonkers.
So if you see a piece of paper fly out of Nikki's car, grab it, guys.
It's papyri.
It could be. It could be a Walmart receipt. Sure. You never know.
Oh, or a Walmart receipt with a prayer on it.
That's you never know. But one I do have that I continue to keep up with, and it looks jank. It is so busted. I had a legal pad, and for whatever reason, I was frustrated with the end of school one year. The kids were younger. I mean, Cooper was still in school. So, I mean, it's been a while. And it was like March.
Yeah.
And I am so exhausted with the arguments, the homework, the routine of get up, we got to go, and the hustle and the craziness of it all. I was done.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, if I, as a mom, am this over it this school year, I knew the teachers were.
Sure. Mm.
So I sat down that morning, because usually my mornings are, once the kids are out the door, that is my quiet
time.
There
you go. Yeah.
So I sat down with my Bible. Now it's on my back deck because the weather's finally nice. But that is my quiet time that I have. And I sat down with a legal pad and just started writing every teacher I know.
Yeah.
So
and
helpful.
Oh, yeah. My stars, I know a lot of teachers.
Right.
And that list has gotten added to and added to. And I will just pull out that list every so often and lay my hands on it in front of my Bible. And I'm like, Lord, here they are. They need it.
And didn't you find yourself, Nikki, when you were writing the name, you were recalling the story in this person's whole life in your brain?
And honestly, there's even some on the list, Adam, you spoke to earlier, people that you don't always like or agree with.
Sure.
Those moments even came in like, this was a hard teacher for my kid, but Lord, they learned from them and I'm appreciative of that moment.
Amen.
And it was a lot. That is probably one of my favorite things in prayer.
Yeah.
But a lot of times it is living in the boonies. I get tired of the racket and the noise.
Yeah.
Daily in my car is podcasts or audiobooks that I know Jason hates. But sometimes it is silence, and that is prayer.
Yes. Like, well, that's what I was going to say. I think for this season in my life, I have really, over the past 2 years, tried to incorporate silence.
You guys taking my answers.
You know, breathing. And guys, I'm not saying like yoga and I got a crystal
stretching.
I'm saying what I see in scripture of be still and know that I'm God and all of these things, because Eugene Peterson says something very cool about prayer. He says, we must remember that God always makes the first move.
Yeah.
God always speaks first. Our prayers are a response to what God has already said. And sometimes we can't just be speaking. We have to be silent to know what God is saying. And for me, I'm a fast-paced person. I'm listening to this. I'm doing seven things. And so walking as well, I know my brain, like a lot of times when I'm writing the sermon or doing something really leading up to Easter, I'll just walk these kind of roads out here, because it allows me, I'm doing something, but it's mindless in that sense.
Yeah.
And I'm really able to focus in, for sure. So I think silence and kind of walking in this season. I like what you said because
the seasons are
important. Yeah, because it's a relationship. So Courtney and I's communication when we first got married looked a lot different than it does now 15 years later. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So Adam, what about you, buddy?
I think the time of day is important for me. To have like an intentional time of prayer, morning time with, and I was the silence aspect. So the most effective, you know, where I really feel connected to God, a good start way to start is, having a list that you kind of keep adding to, and starting with that. And what I've done, it's funny to hear people's methods, but I would do, you said 15 minutes, like I would do a 15 minute timer and pray that whole time, or fill that time with silence after prayer.
Yep.
So pray, ask, thanks, all of supplication, everything, being with God, praying for specific people. And then it's hard. I mean, like, it's a discipline to just be in silence and being like, okay, it seems a little bit odd at first. It's like, who am I listening for? Like actually listening to the voice of God, but he speaks in those moments. So that's been a really good routine in the morning, but I find throughout the day, the prayer aspect, when am I there most? It's when I drive some for work. I do some field work, and I listen to music throughout the day, and I spend a lot of my time listening to worship music, shocker. But when that worship music leads me to a place of emotional response, which is often like tears and just different things, I latch onto that as a time of prayer. Mm. And like oftentimes words will just be coming out as I'm like, as a song is going and I'm feeling, and it's like, there's just something that the Lord is putting on your heart.
No, I'm just but I know it's the overflow, right?
Yeah. Yes. And so those are the moments where I try not to ignore it and try and dive into that really prayerful space.
Yeah.
But you know, the routine of the morning is fantastic. I mean, really, really. So
I think that's something I do want to reiterate, is if anybody's listening to this, there is a common denominator. And one big word that you said that is, it has to go with prayer, is intentional.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Intentionality. And I always illustrate being intentional is watching a bride plan her wedding.
Mm-hmm.
What's going to be in the middle of the table? What are the colors? What's the invite? Everything means something.
Yeah.
And when it comes to prayer, intentionality is important. And so the times are incredible. I think to sum it all up, be intentional, have a plan. And I know
if you don't have a plan, you're not going to do
But see, I think a lot of people think, I don't want to overplan it, or that doesn't feel right.
I fail before I start.
100%.
You're going to. You are going to fail at this until you find your rhythm.
Yep. How do you get fit? You make a plan and you create a discipline that is turns into a habit. Because then whenever stressors come, you're going to always revert to your habit.
Ooh.
So like,
yep.
I mean, it's the same thing. You have to be intentional, and it's hard work at first, and it's not fun, and I don't want to do it. And like, it just, it impedes me. I want to sleep longer, whatever it is.
Yeah.
I think though, there's something even underneath here. Why Paul then says that and then gives the gospel. Like, why in that order? Because being a pastor and talking with people and counseling with people, a question that I ask a lot is, let's say you're getting ready to pray to God. What is his face like when you're praying to him? What is the expression on his face? And a lot of times it's love, but like just last week, they said they said, I know he's there. Oh, they said, I know he's there, but, and then they said, he's kind of exhausted, kind of a little bit. Like, why won't you do what I want you to do?
Like shaking the kid a little bit.
You know, a little bit. And I think the gospel motivation, right, underneath that is, who you're coming to is going to affect greatly how you come to them, right? And so this idea that it's grace and that he is more willing to talk to you and to answer your prayers than you are to come to him. Mm. And I just think about my kids and the people that I love, like, apart from checking out in Walmart or, you know, in the middle of doing something. And even then it's like, hey, love you. I got this going on. Can I call you right back? We would never refuse the people that we love. If anything, it's a beautiful interruption into our day. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, hey, what are you doing? That is our God.
Yeah,
and I think understanding right belief leads to right behavior. And so before you feel like you fail, before you've ever started, like you said, or this, that, and the other, everything that we ever say at Westside is this: everything's a gospel issue.
Yeah.
It's always a gospel issue. So knowing that, and maybe for some people listening to this, you might need to write a little gospel affirmation. I knew a lady who had a little gospel affirmation that she said before she prayed.
Dry erase markers on bathroom mirrors. Perfect.
Yeah.
That's
I have, you know, those in all of my bathrooms.
When my son is old enough to read, dude, I plan on doing
it's so much fun. Courtney and I hide notes in the pillowcases and stuff. It's awesome.
I mean, whether it's for prayer or for verse memories, there's so many different ways.
Yeah.
Courtney once told me, like, when she's folding laundry, she prays for the kids as she's folding her. And it's applicable, and it's not huge. It doesn't have to be big when you're washing dishes. Yeah. Thank you, God, for the food that my family got to eat. It's not that hard.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you're failing in those, because I overslept or I was doing this or I was doing that.
Yeah.
God's still there.
Yeah. There was a song recently, and I don't think it's new. You would tell me if it's new. Cochran and Co., Running Home. Okay, everyone listening to this podcast, go listen to Running Home, Cochran and Co.
Amen.
There's a line that I was literally running. So it's called Running Home.
Were you running home?
Yeah.
I was running. Actually, coincidentally, I was running away from home. But was, you know what I mean?
You repented and turned around and ran home.
Cut that run short.
I have, and I told Megan this, and she goes, that's weird. And I'm like, whatever. I said, I haven't yelled out loud while I was running in a
come
long
on,
time.
Dude.
So when I was running, this song came on. So you'll see it. It's
can
a
you imagine
song.
Being someone in their yard and
this
you
guy
ran
goes
by?
Like Rocky. I'm
come
like,
on. Yes.
But it says this, gonna run this race to my final step, gonna sing this song to my final breath and let that weight of this world go, and gonna be no tears, gonna be no pain. And when I see that smile on my Savior's face, yeah. I won't be walking, I'll be running home.
Mm.
And dude, for come me, on. I was like, I beat my PR record.
That's
for
right,
a mile,
man.
I was like, let's go. Like, it was just that reminder of like, the Lord simply wants to talk to you. I remember my dad would call me, and like it was a 15-minute phone call. Some of you guys know my story. Like those 15 minutes, and that's probably why I pray for 15 minutes today, because it's just a reminder of where I come from. But
yeah, that's the title of your book.
That 15 minutes.
15 minutes. In heaven. In heaven.
But I think, just reminding yourself, like whenever it's prayer, like it's so minimal. Like right now we're trying to teach you to just amen.
Yes.
But it's like, the Lord smiles at that.
Amen.
Like,
amen.
I remember teens like, well, I don't really know how to pray. I'm like, well, you can talk. I know that.
Yep.
You can talk to him.
That's it.
So anyway, always having that mindset of like, he's smiling at you, man.
That's
like,
so helpful, guys. It's so helpful. And listen, if you're listening to this, number one, man, if there's something that's helped you that you would love to share with people or just share with us, write in, guys.
Yeah.
We would love to hear that. Number two, if you've got any questions about prayer, it's a big topic. My goodness, we've done a whole series on prayer and all of those things. Shoot in those questions at info@westsidepb.org. I'm just, God's word does the work.
Yeah.
And I'm really just excited about what he's doing in this season in the life of our church, and then what he's doing through this word right now, which leads us to some stuff that we've got coming up.
All the things.
This
I feel
weekend
like.
Is all the things. First off, nationally and whatever, what's this weekend, Nikki?
It's Mother's Day.
It's Mother's Day.
Shout out to the mamas.
Shout out to the women of the world, right?
And I think we've got some cool things for the women.
Yeah.
And that's one thing I want to speak about. So if you are here and maybe you do not have biological children of your own, we celebrate you on Mother's Day because you have joined a church family.
Yes.
You are momming to those kids back there in the nursery. You've taken on that. When we got baby dedication, which I love that it happens on Mother's Day.
We've got like something like
11
babies. That's so great.
Be fruitful and multiply.
Westside
does
that.
We ain't got no problem
obeying
that one, Lord. You know what I'm saying? So that's going to be awesome. There's going to be photo booths. We've got some cool signs that women are going to be able to hold in the photo booth. Gifts for women. It's going to be a very fun Sunday.
Yeah.
And on top of that, this Sunday for Westside is a really important Sunday. Because this Sunday, May 14th, due to the Lord's great blessing upon our congregation, this church is going to two services.
Yes. Woo. Yeah, baby.
Yeah, man. So this Sunday, we launch into two services, 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. It's the exact same service.
Same thing.
There will be baby dedications at both services.
Yep.
All the same amenities are offered, and I just don't ever want to stop saying this, that in this time when religion and church and everything in the world is hostile towards that, and then if you zero in more in the church life, 87% I think is the statistic of churches are plateaued or declining. And let me pause. It ain't got nothing to do with our hot, cool building. It ain't got nothing.
No.
We got original carpet in the sanctuary, okay? I mean, it ain't got nothing to do with nothing other than the Lord's grace upon our congregation.
Amen.
And so for the very fact that we have to make room for what God is doing, new wine means new wineskins. And so there's a number of opportunities. Jump in, sign up to serve. We've got people who are serving. We're saying this right now. Oftentimes when we tell people, hey, jump in and serve, they're like, oh man, I just hate when I'm serving. And then people come back there and they're like, oh my gosh, that was such a great service. And you know, I'm going to rush home and watch the live stream, but I didn't get to be a part of it. Now we can totally meet that need.
Yep.
Worship an hour, work an hour.
Yeah.
And then you get to know, you know, God forbid you stay at church a little longer to have some conversations, stuff like that. One of the things that's super important that we said at the beginning of the sermon, logistically, there is kids side, there is childcare. Yep. Again, it's the same service, the same amenities. What is important to note is that kids side will not be receiving kids until after 8:30 and after 10:30.
Yes.
So it gives those teachers and everybody time to prepare. If you're coming in for the 11, we're kind of cleaning up and doing a lot from the 9, all kinds of stuff. So also this Sunday, when mamas and families come in, they check in kids side, right, yeah. Nikki?
So we started a new routine, and with the two services, we're going to nix it. So,
sure.
Yay. Thanks for trying something new with us.
We are learning. We're learning. Right.
And growth sometimes means pruning. And so that part of it is being pruned out.
Sure.
So all of our kids will check in at Kidside.
Yep.
Will go into their classrooms just like they did previously. So they will not go sit in worship with you. We will be doing our own worship with the kids and things back there. So, and then you'll come. Once your service time is over, come back, grab your kiddos, because we will be turning those rooms right over for the 11 o'clock.
Yeah, for sure.
So, yeah.
And this is good. One thing I said to the congregation, and this is just me, you know, a suggestion that if Westside's your home church, like you're not going nowhere, you give your time, talents, treasures. Yeah. You pay your light bill and then you give to Westside. Like that's how much it's a part of your life. Yeah. I strongly suggest and ask that you come to the 9 a.m. service. Only because everything statistics show that if somebody's trying a church for the first time, they're probably not going to get up at like 8 a.m. on Sunday and come and check it out. Sometimes they do, but they come to the 11. So come to the 9, worship, be blessed, and then serve the guests of the house at the 11 a.m. So there's a ton of opportunities, ton of information, Facebook, our newsletter. All kinds of Alex Clark. All things are coming up for sure. So we're super excited. We love you guys. Be sure to comment info@westsidepb.org, Facebook page, all the good stuff.
Subscribe to our YouTube.
Yep.
Haley's not here and I'm failing on all the things.
Right. We're doing everything. So awesome, guys. We love you. And until we meet again, never forget that it is all about Jesus.
Peace.